listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 230 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal, Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
I'm amazing and stunning and incredible.
We're in the office in Birkenhead today, aren't we?
Birkenhead.
Bit of background noise with the lads typing away there, and there's plenty going on, actually, in the building, so...
It's a happening place there, isn't it? There's people are being creative geniuses in here, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, yeah. The Sheds, which is the other end of the building, like, we're all creative hub. They're moving some sheds today. I was just down there earlier on. They're kind of twisting them around and reformatting the area a little bit, I think, of the space. Right. But yeah, it's cool.
It looks good down there. It does.
Yeah, it's getting there, isn't it?
Yeah.
What are we talking about today?
Confidence.
Ah, yes. Confidence trick.
Have you got confidence?
I think I've got a decent level of confidence. It depends on the circumstance, doesn't it, and where you are in the world, who you're interacting with. But
yeah,
I'm doing okay. We'll come to that. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Take a look for all the show notes and links for this and all previous episodes. We've got a book, Live in the Present, which you can grab. And if you sign up to our email list, there's a couple of boxes on the website. You can get a 10% discount off it, as well as free meditation files and some other bits and bobs. I got your anxiety word file, which I need to turn into something amazing.
Yeah, something really sexy.
I should have asked you before we came on. Have you done the audio files for that as well?
Yeah.
Are they all ready?
I have.
So it's going to basically be like a long... What I'm thinking is kind of a hidden web page where people can read your words and click play as well.
I definitely do.
It's in there somewhere. It's in the cloud up there somewhere.
But
I'll get cracking on that next week and get it out to our listeners as and when. But yeah, if you're on the email list, you'll be the first to hear about it.
Yeah, it is pretty good. And the
pretty good. What a sales pitch. You're that confident in it.
It's pretty good. The work I've been doing with people in some of the hospitals in different places have been really, really good, really effective.
Cool. Good to hear. Ah, there they all are.
There we are.
All right. Lots of... Yeah, right. Okay, man. It's going to be fun editing all this stuff together.
But they all come out as MP4s, I think.
MP4 video.
MP4As, isn't it? It's one up from MP3.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I'll sort it out. What you been up to? How's tricks?
Very, 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 very good. The one thing that happened to me, so I just have to give a shout out for my neighbour, a guy called Andy. They've just moved in next door. Lovely people, lovely family. And the wind. We had very high winds with the hurricanes coming in.
Yeah.
And it took out one of my garden fences. And I hadn't realised, but the post has snapped. And I was saying to him, I need to come around to your side and re-concrete the post. I didn't realise it had snapped. And he said, we could do it together. And I said, no, it's okay. I'll do it with my fence coming. And then in the morning, I came down here and out there, and he'd done it. And he'd dug out all round, and the fence had snapped, so he'd redone the post and everything, reconcreted it all in.
Beautiful.
And they're just such nice people, and it really kind of renews your faith in humanity. It's great, yeah. Good. Lovely guy. Yeah.
That's cool. That's a good little story, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're going to have Christmas dinner with Andy, or are you going to be...
I reckon that we need to get the pizza oven going and
If you like your neighbour that much, why bother with fence panels at all? Why not just take him out?
Just come on through.
Cool. I haven't got written in my little notes or whatever.
But what have you been up to?
All good. 100 miles an hour life. Loving work. Loving life. I'm kind of deep into this kind of whole political world at the moment with Trump and all that, and all the news that came out yesterday about
Did you hear? I just caught it as a news flash. I think that a tunnel has collapsed in Korea.
Nope.
On one of the nuclear sites.
Oh, blimey!
And a whole load of people have been killed in it. Which
I had not seen that. No, I've been a couple of hours offline, and look what happens. Flipping heck!
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it, but.
I saw it as just a news flash. Something's happened there.
But watch this space with good old Donald Trump. We'll kind of lead that into our talk about confidence because DT, Mr. President, is a confident chap, isn't he? But
no, I don't think he is.
Ah.
No,
I can see through it.
Yeah, I think that when people are confident is that they have knowledge as a base, and when they have confidence, if people criticise and they don't cave in and have to kind of get snappy and fight back because they're confident
on Twitter,
in who they are. Yeah.
Blimey.
People that are confident can take feedback and they can be disagreed with. And they don't go into a meltdown because they have a level of confidence about themselves.
They don't chuck all the toys out the pram.
Yeah, I think that Donald Trump is probably one of the most unconfident people that we have. He's masquerading as being confident.
Yeah, well, that's it. I kind of... Not that I hold any sway in the world of politics, but what I noticed in his... when he was, you know, campaigning to be president is that despite being... having, you know, stadiums full of people showing up to see him and all this entourage of people tweeting and fighting on his behalf, what I really noticed is that he's a really lonely guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He probably hasn't got any real friends that he can call up and speak to.
Yeah, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
And imagine there's a room and there's a party going on.
Yeah.
Right? And in the corner there's someone who's sat quietly having a drink, chatting to somebody. And then someone comes in and they're really flamboyant and it's like, who's the sexiest person here before I came in?
You know, it's Sean Offord. Yeah, Sean's here.
It's like, who's the most confident person? The person who's going, hey, look at me, or the person who sat quietly in the corner?
Mm.
What do you reckon?
Well, it depends on the person in the corner, but yeah, you know, I'm always drawn to that person.
But the person that sat quietly in the corner is confident about who they are. They don't need to be making big displays of anything.
Yep.
And the person who's doing all the hey, I'm here stuff is someone who's saying, look, I really lack confidence and I need you guys to tell me that I'm okay. Please reinforce the fact that I'm okay. Tell me I'm wonderful, please.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And people like that, whether it's Trump or whoever, are people who lack confidence, ever got confidence at all.
Mm.
If you look,
are we good at spotting that, though? Or a lot of people...
No, we get drawn in. Yeah, mm. And it's like we look at all the celebrities.
Yeah.
You know, how many people do you need to say, it's OK, Madonna, you're all right, don't worry, that was a really good song. How many people do you need to make you feel good?
How many podcast listeners have we had this month?
Millions.
The fewer the better. Yeah, we don't mind. We don't care.
If you think about North Korea, the need to show off about the fact that you've got nuclear weapons and need to kind of wave them around and you know, look at mine's bigger than yours stuff. Those aren't the acts of someone who's confident.
Yeah.
They're acts of someone who feels little and inconfident and they're trying to make a big point. When you feel confident, you don't have to make a point. And that's the point of confidence.
Yep. If anyone does know Kim Jong-un or Donald Trump, feel free to share this episode with them.
Yeah.
We'd love to get the feedback.
Yeah, we'll invite them on the show.
I'll come on to how we can help people like that, kind of sway them back to our side of thinking. But you shared an article with me, which is what triggered this week's episode.
Yep.
Guardian.com. It's in the show notes. It's on the website. It's quite a long blog post actually, but fascinating. Usually I just read the start and the end of the posts you sent me, but this one I was quite kind of hooked on.
I actually read it.
But yeah, it starts with the line, some people exude self-assurance whilst others dread putting themselves forward, but is a lack of confidence societal or genetic, and what tricks can we use to overcome it? So is confidence inbuilt or is it learned?
I think that most confidence is learned. And obviously, there's going to be some genetic predispositions in who we are. Maybe they talk about little man syndrome, don't they? That people like Napoleon and Nelson, Hitler, people that were actually quite small men.
Yeah.
And that drive for small men to make a big noise, to make them sort of feel bigger, is seen as like
We're just below average height, aren't we?
No, I'm normal size. Anyone that's bigger than me is vertically challenged.
And smaller. I'm probably a bit smaller then.
No, they're normal. That's okay.
Yeah, but okay. Were you always the short ass at school?
Yeah, I was.
Like, and back of the row when you're having the class photo done and all that.
That's
always
right.
Sitting at the back.
Like all my sisters are taller than me. I spent my life looking up people's noses.
Yeah.
You know.
So how long did it take you to build the confidence to overcome the... Not, I wouldn't say I got bullied at school, but, you know, I was the short ass, so I had to...
No, I was bullied in primary school, And when I went to secondary school, the first day I was there, a guy had a go at me, and I hit him so hard over the head with my briefcase, he had to have stitches in his head.
Okay,
and
right.
And it was the best thing that I ever did, because people then left me alone.
So are we actively, like, promoting violence on this podcast?
Don't think of violence, think of it as communication. I communicated with him in a way which was, don't bully me.
Okay, and you were you were 11 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And it worked. It was a successful communication.
Word got around about Sean Orford.
Yeah, yeah. So and so I suppose things like that gave me confidence when I was younger. But I also did quite a bit of stage work when I was younger as well. I did, they called them gang shows. Mm-hmm. It was the Boy Scouts and all that kind of stuff. So I did quite a lot of stage stuff.
Maybe it's that so, early on then you taught yourself a lesson that you can shape the world around you. If you kind of, some people let things happen to them and think they can't change the world. You can't make little differences, but you can't you? Whether it's by whacking someone over the head with a briefcase or, you know, maybe doing other things. But
yeah. Yeah, I mean, we haven't mentioned my dear old dad for a while. Mm. But with someone like him, the choice was either that you developed your own self-confidence and survived, or you'd go under.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, if you didn't end up giving yourself some kind of value, which I think is the important bit, is that we've talked a lot about anxiety recently, and anxiety and confidence are like opposite ends of something.
Yeah.
You know, we're anxious about something when we don't have the confidence in the situation, or we're anxious of flying because we don't have the confidence in the science or the pilot or the weather or whatever to get us to the other end of the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the two things do run quite closely together.
So you had fun at school and at home.
Yeah.
Any other tricks that you were kind of employing to bump your confidence up early on?
When I look at people generally, when I was a teenager, I can remember being a bit obsessed with clothes,
mm-hmm.
and wearing the right clothes, as though the clothes would give me something, some kind of confidence.
Well, they do. They yeah. can't they?
Yeah.
In fact, that's a point I'm going to come to later on from a blog post I found. But yeah, what you wear.
Yeah.
It's just a little life hack, isn't it?
Yeah. And is it that you need to have a designer what you wear to give you confidence? Does that make you better?
Mm.
And you'll see some people who are covered in a designer statement. You know, they've got the Gucci shoes and the Armani watch or whatever they've got.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is that an act of confidence? Could be. Is it that they've got loads of dosh because they've worked hard and that's good?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it that they're trying to make a statement about saying, I'm important?
Yeah.
Yeah. And when people do that, and I think this is the thing that I've known lots of very, very rich people, and I mean very rich people, who've lived very modestly. They don't live in enormous houses, they don't drive big flash cars, they're just very rich because the richness is a byproduct, they're doing what they do.
Yeah.
But they don't need to be saying to other people, hey, look at me, I'm really rich, hey, look, I've got the best car on the street, mm. all that kind of stuff, they're just being themselves. And I think that we mistake celebrity and we mistake shows of having things as confidence, and it's not, it's the reverse.
Yeah.
You know, the most confident person is usually the quietest person around because they don't need to make a noise.
Yeah, yeah. They don't need that endless love and affection and reinforcement.
Yeah.
Yeah, talking about clothes, it's weird. I kind of learned these things later in life than I wish I had, you know, when I was at school. And even university a little bit. Being the shortest person in the class, usually... I was kind of reinforced by things that I would wear. So, you know, at school you can't have tailored clothes generally, but as I've grown older, I've learned that wearing clothes that fit better, mm. and getting suits, I've had a couple of suits made and tailored and shirts mm-hmm. tailored that, yeah. so that they fit me better and closer mm-hmm. so that I'm the same height, but I look taller. It's right. weird. And because I'm wearing something that's maybe a little bit more expensive or that I know that's been cut just right for me, in my head I feel that little bit taller.
So it gives you an edge.
Yeah.
And I think that's like dressing for a part, isn't it? I do know people that work from home and they're working online, but they will dress up like they're going to work. Mm. So they'll put a suit on and everything. When they finish work, they'll stop and change again.
Yeah.
because that relationship between the uniform that we're wearing and the way that it makes us feel. If you take a policeman outside of a uniform, does he have the same authority that he does if he's in the uniform?
We do have that chance, don't we, to kind of shape our self-image. And maybe to people, I mean, we've talked in the past about how social media can do that in a bad way, because, you know, we're endlessly kind of preening and pruning our Facebook and our Instagram to show this perfect life. But in some ways, is that a positive thing, because it kind of reinforces confidence in ourselves?
And well, what about if it works the other way around? What about if I keep putting this stuff up that keeps telling everybody how good I am, and then I spend my life in fear that people are going to see through it and see what it's really like?
When they meet you in real life and they, yeah, realise that it's not.
And maybe you avoid meeting them in real life.
Yeah. So it's a difficult balancing act, isn't it?
I think that the issue with confidence is realising that confidence is something which is a natural part of self-development. You can't impose confidence on yourself. Mm-hmm. You can't go out and buy a load of flash stuff and pretend and actually be confident. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that when you look at someone like Donald Trump, who, if you just think about the spats that he does on Twitter, you know, those are not the acts of a confident person. They're an act of someone who's feeling quite unconfident and is trying to kind of scrabble back on something.
Permanently on the defensive, isn't he? In his mind, he thinks he's on the attack, but really...
Yeah, and I don't know where he fits in the most richest people on the planet, but, I mean, he's worth a bob or two. Mm-hmm. And so even the money and the status of being the President of the United States doesn't allow him to sit back and feel that confidence. He's having to go, me, mine, I'm okay, really, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's not confidence, still.
I want to talk a bit about how we can kind of, because we've established that it's something that you can have a direct, you have control of your confidence levels, don't you? I've got two little nippers, of course, and I'm thinking constantly about how they're interacting with the world and how they can be confident but not overstep the mark into kind of, yeah, being an arsehole, basically. because, yeah, you know, you want your kids to be the ones that kind of put the hands up in class when a question is asked and all that. You don't want them shouting out the answer and kind of stampeding through everyone.
I think the issue comes when you're looking at bringing a child up about positive feedback, positive reinforcement. There was an experiment done back in the, I think it was the 70s, that you'd never be allowed to do now. Two identical sets of children, two schools, but they were matched in terms of... In terms of age and gender, and ability. And in one class, whatever they did, they were reinforced and told how wonderful it was. And in the other class, whatever they did, they were criticised and told how bad it was. And at the end of the year, like I say, you'd never be allowed to do this now, but at the end of the year, the class that had been criticised, their results had gone right the way down the pan.
Wow, really?
And the class that had been praised had come right the way up. Their levels of achievement had increased hugely.
Blimey. Yeah. Well, you say that you wouldn't be allowed to do it now, but we do have this inbuilt class system in the UK, don't we? Where people from a very early age are kind of sent on different paths in the world, and you just got to look at kind of the makeup of Parliament or your average big business is people from a certain class and amount of dosh. In fact, it's not even about money. It doesn't come into it so much. It's expectations early on of which school someone will go to, who they'll hang out with, what they'll do after school.
But if in the school that you're in, everybody that comes out of your school becomes professionals, and maybe they all become doctors, or they'll become politicians or scientists, you can get that thing where the education system actually teaches you that you are better, that you are confident.
Yeah,
but that's a learned thing, isn't it? It may be illusory, but it's a learned thing.
Yeah.
Yeah? And feeling confident and being confident aren't necessarily the same thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's fascinating. You might get a guy who's some hotshot lawyer or whatever, or barrister, and he's super confident in his world of, I don't know, the courthouses or the upper echelons of society, but you stick that same person in your average local boozer in the back end of nowhere in Liverpool, yeah. And they're going to freeze, aren't they?
Yes.
So does that show a lack of confidence in
some way? In that area, the confidence is specific. So my example to you earlier on was actually a bricklayer that I knew who was the cleverest man with his hands I've ever seen. He had the most confident hands. He could do anything with them, and he'd be doing archways and all kinds of things. And he just did it so naturally. But if you asked him to talk about anything maybe that was a bit emotional, just fall to pieces. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So that relationship between I could be confident in the kitchen and not confident in the bedroom, couldn't I?
But if you've got a deficit of confidence in any area, does that mean that generally, well, you've got work to do?
Yeah, I'd say so. But the key to me comes down to this, which is above the Temple of Apollo in Delphi, there's the famous, it's written, know thyself.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of the command, if you like. That's what you have to do. And I think that is so real. So Aristotle says, knowing yourself is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah, and that's the issue, is if I know me and I'm confident in me and I do know me quite clearly, if I've done that work, then whatever happens around me, I can still retain my confidence, which is what I mean about it's okay to have an opinion and for someone to disagree with you, because if you're confident, you can accept their disagreement.
Yeah.
You don't have to be right.
Mm-hmm.
People that have to be right and it's my way are the ones that don't have any confidence.
The start of the blog post that you linked to, the Guardian one I mentioned, one of the early bits, it's talking about kids and in a grammar school, actually. I went to a grammar school, and how the motto of this grammar school in Manchester, all-boys school, is dare to be wise. And I think what a lot of confidence is, it's not knowing that you're right, it's knowing that you don't actually know everything, that there's more things to learn all the time. I think that's one of the keys to real confidence, isn't it?
Yeah. But Ramji would say to me that his definition of a good person was someone who was getting better at it, which means that you never get to the end of the journey, but you're always growing and developing in whatever area you're talking about. So a better nurse is someone who's getting better at it.
Mm.
A better designer is someone who's getting better at it.
Yeah.
And if you're always getting better, in the end you're going to be pretty good, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know? I went to a big comprehensive school. I was in the grammar section of the comprehensive school because it was split into different bits.
Yeah.
But it was certainly seen that the school was seen as down market relative to the real grammar school that was down the road.
Yeah.
No, it didn't have the same value in local society.
Mm. It's weird, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, because sweeping generalisations here, but I went to the local grammar school. There's no fees. It was just you did the 11 plus, and if you passed, you got in. If you didn't, you went up to a comp. But again, it's generalisation. But speaking to the kids that I went to primary school with, that when we went our separate ways, I think they lack in confidence generally. To the guys that I met through grammar school,
but did that confidence come from the fact that people had done the work to get into the school, or did it come from the school teaching them that they were better than? Because, it's like if you go to university, I guess it's changed a bit now, but if you went to Oxford or Cambridge, that was much more prestigious than going to Birmingham or Plymouth.
Yeah, even within the university, because I went to Newcastle, but I didn't go to Newcastle Uni, the red brick uni. I went to Northumbria Uni, which is like the media, basically the old college, really. But still, it's tagged the university on the end by the time to make it sound a bit more prestigious.
But maybe going to, if you can say to somebody, you know, I went to so and so university, that gives you confidence because people will assume something about you that isn't true. Maybe.
What have you got there about confidence and resilience?
Well, to me, that they go together. Is that people that are confident are naturally resilient. Because that's what I mean about it. If I'm confident in who I am, if you come along and tell me I've just got it wrong, I can either tell you you're bonkers, or I can actually listen to what you're saying. If I've got the confidence, I will listen to it. And if what you're saying to me is right, I can adjust where I am.
Yeah.
Because I'm confident enough to do that. People that lack confidence become stubborn and stuck and stand on their, you know, I must be right stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is just not real. And that's what I mean about it's like the party syndrome. The people that we think have confidence in our society are usually the ones with the least.
Yep.
The ones making the most noise. You know, the Boris Johnsons of this world, that kind of stuff. It's like, me.
Be wary.
Why does anybody need to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's... why do we... We've got a bit of work to do. Beyond sharing this podcast with more folks, how can we instill a different sense of what confidence is in people?
I think that it probably goes back to education, and probably some of the most important people in our society are primary school teachers.
Mm.
Because they're the ones that have got the kids right from the beginning. And if they've got a confidence deficit from home, at least in school, it's going to be input and reinforced if the teacher is there building that confidence base.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm a bit biased in this sense because my wife is a reception teacher. So kids at the first year at school, she teaches them, and she's absolutely amazing at instilling confidence and, like, loving all these 30 kids every year that she sends through the system. And yeah, I don't think we do. We have this kind of hierarchy of jobs in the UK, don't we? You go to university, okay, maybe you're going to be a teacher, but we look down on that as opposed to a doctor or a surgeon or a lawyer or a barrister, which are kind of the upper echelons of society.
Mm.
Whereas, yeah, I think the most important job in the world is our teachers. And the lower down school, the more important, because that's when you can really mould people's minds.
All of us probably can remember a teacher, for good or bad, because teachers do have such an influence on us.
Mm.
You know, the ones that treat us badly and push us down, or the ones that are like, wow, no, I really enjoyed being with that teacher.
Yeah.
And maybe they did make us feel more confident or enable us to find our own confidence.
So when you and I, well, when I'm Prime Minister and you're getting on a bit... Oh, no, actually, Donald Trump's 70, isn't he? So I can say you'll be stuck in the House of Lords.
I'm going to be the first 100-year-old Prime Minister.
Our initial policy change is to give all teachers a pay rise.
I think...
Doctors can take a hit.
There was something that happened around the Thatcherian era where teachers were all... kind of put down. There was a kind of collective movement that were making teachers out all to be lefties.
Yeah.
And
well, there is now, man. It was just last week, wasn't it? It was kind of questions about universities and what they're teaching.
Oh, yeah.
Pro-Remain, like Remain in the EU.
Yeah.
Like some Conservative MP actually wrote a letter
demanding to know
the names of.
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous. I mean, why not ask the question as to maybe why or universities are pushing that message out there or discussing it more prominently or leaning towards that side of the argument instead of saying, "Why, give us your name, we want to change this."
Yeah.
Maybe not ask why they're actually thinking that. So,
yeah, very McCarthy kind of witch hunt thing,
It's crazy.
Yeah.
We've got resources of the week.
My resource is simply this. It's like, if you dare, get some feedback. It's like if I wrote on 20 pieces of paper, Sean, the way I experience you is, and I gave it to lots of different people, you know, maybe 20, 30 people, and got them to write honestly the way they experience me, I'd have a much clearer view of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because very often people that do lack confidence, not the ones that need to shout about it, but the ones that quietly lack confidence, are the ones that don't see themselves realistically.
Yeah. Okay.
And sometimes they need that feedback. But you have to have a level of confidence to dare.
To ask for that. I think we keep coming back to poor old Donald, but he hasn't probably got that group of people around him that feel they can be honest with him. Because he's just always wanting that positive feedback, isn't he? Every now and again. I've got friends and family, even the weirdos in this office, that might just rein me in every now and again and tell me if I've done something not quite right.
Yeah,
you know, if I've been an idiot, my mum will tell me, or my wife, or politely, and I'll kind of change my course a little bit. Whereas folks like Trumpy haven't got that, have they? They're just constantly looking for.
No.
I'm right, aren't I? I'm right, aren't I? Yes, Donald, you certainly are. Yes, Donald.
But even when people can kind of provably tell him that he's wrong, he still comes back and says, "No, you've got it wrong. I'm just right."
I'm going to link to a little Steve Jobs clip. Quite a famous one on YouTube, just a short minute-long video about, obviously he's a confident guy, about where he gets that confidence from, and without giving it away completely, it's kind of knowing that you can shape the world, and the world was created by people that aren't much smarter or less smart than you, and that you can impact it every day. Even little tiny little things, doesn't have, you don't have to completely reinvent the computer or the personal device in everyone's pockets, but baby steps, eh?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Happy?
I'm happy.
Good. All done. Livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links, and all the previous episodes are online as well. If you'd like to leave us some feedback on iTunes, we would appreciate it, good or bad. We take it all on board. And do send us an email via the website if there's anything you would like us to discuss in future episodes, because we love getting messages about how we can help people directly. Okay, Sean?
Yeah, I'm good.
Take care. Have a good week.
I'm well. And you?
See you later.
Yeah, see you. Bye.
Bye.